Good morning. It is May 18th, 2020. This is Wendy Bauer reading to you today from the Decatur Herald and Review, May 18th, 2020, and we'll start on the front page with a special Midwest report, Bothersome Bottleneck. COVID-19 issues being felt all along meat processing network. Jeff Bell owns Jeffrey's Meat Market and House of Meats in Decatur, and despite having 7 distributors, both are experiencing shortages. The COVID-19 outbreak has been especially pronounced in meatpacking plants across the country. For butchers and grocers, the pandemic's impact stretches right to the consumer, who Bell said have taken to stocking up in a big way. "Don't hoard," said Bell, a butcher of more than 30 years. "Come in and get what you need for a week." U.S. meat exports are surging, even as the industry is struggling to meet domestic demand because of coronavirus outbreaks, as processing plants that have sickened hundreds of workers and caused companies to scramble to improve conditions. One of the outbreaks has been at Rantoul Foods in Rantoul. Workers with OSF Healthcare, Heart of Mary Medical Center, and Occupational Health Services Organization, SafeWorks Illinois, tested 225 employees. Dr. David Fletcher of SafeWorks Illinois said those who tested positive, 2 were showing signs of sickness while the remainder were asymptomatic. 1 person was hospitalized. "This is a younger population and they're very asymptomatic, and that's very scary," Fletcher said. "When someone is an asymptomatic carrier, they're going to go on and infect 4 to 5 people. You've got to stop that." Despite efforts to test all 650 employees with Rantoul, there was a significant portion who did not get tested out of fear of losing their job or their immigration status, Fletcher said. The Reverend Nelson Cuevas with Cultivadores, Cultivators, Inc., is working with Rantoul employees who tested positive for the virus. Cultivadores, Cultivators, Inc. is a nonprofit organization that provides outreach, programming, and daycare for essential workers. The organization began helping workers with the virus after rumors and racial discrimination toward the Latino population spread throughout the Rantoul community. Cuevas said out of the 30 Latino Rantoul Food employees who tested positive, almost all of them were eager to return to work and are pleased with how the pork plant is handling the outbreak. "You gotta understand this. We were all in compliance, daycares like mine, pork plants, the one in Rantoul, in compliance to the old way of doing things," Cuevas said. "All of us had to learn to get into the new compliance that CDC and public health is having." With fewer animals being processed, farmers are forced to house, feed, and care for otherwise market-ready animals. This has caused the system to bottleneck as the backlog of animals grows. "We've got the animals," said Jenny Jackson, spokeswoman for the Illinois Pork Producers. "We have more animals than we have processing capability for." The trickle-down effect goes up and down the food chain. "Anything related to food service has really taken a hit," said Seth Gallivan, who runs Dutch Valley Meats, a family-owned operation in Arthur, Illinois, that has specialized in fresh beef, pork, and poultry since 1981. Part of their business is selling wholesale to restaurants and stores. After COVID hit, hours were trimmed and caps were put on purchases. "The purpose is to allow us to maintain an inventory so that people can shop," Gallivan said. "It keeps the first person from coming in and cleaning house." "Production is down," he said, "but because people are hoarding to an extent, that is making the shortage worse." "There are other operational issues," shortened staff hours means staff are in a crunch. We make a lot of these products in-house, Gallivan said. It takes time to manufacture. Masks are used. They keep social distancing in the plant and store by marking off areas. Our employees are not stacked next to each other, Gallivan said. They all work at least 6 feet apart. Travis Meter, beef extension educator with the University of Illinois, said the situation has caused a lot of time commitment and mental struggle for farmers. They may have had plan A, B, and C gone out within a matter of a few days, he said. The issue is less pronounced for producers like Leeper Family Farms in rural Decatur. Tom Leeper has been producing locally raised beef for 20 years. The family has 24 cows on the farm at any given time, but Leeper said he is considering increasing that number to 30 next year due to high demand in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. The outbreak of COVID-19 has put thousands of Americans out of work, but essential employees, such as farmers, are one of the few to benefit from a high demand for products. Because we are locally producing, we've had the supply that we can meet demand. But now, because of the demand, we are all sold out until next year, he said. That part has been good for us, but it has not been good for the economy or consumer. Products range in price based on the cut of meat customers are looking for, but on average, their beef is priced at about $4 per pound, significantly less than what consumers are finding in grocery stores now as the price of meat skyrockets due to the pandemic. Under normal circumstances, the Leeper family farm does not sell out of beef until October. Leeper said they were out in April this year and they are already taking orders for next year. All of their beef is processed at Moequa Packing Plant, 601 North Main Street, Moequa. The family is in the thick of planting season now, shifting their focus from beef to grains. We farm over 3,000 acres, and we are turning over close to 350 acres per day, Leeper said. Leeper's three-year-old grandson, Joshua Leeper, drives around the farm on his toy black Chevy truck, assisting his grandfather in feeding the cattle. Leeper said he plans to continue working at the pace he normally would this time of year in order to contribute to the local food supply. Agriculture is the backbone of society in a way, so there is a lot of dependence on a balanced and consistent food supply, he said. We will continue to do our jobs to maintain that for the consumer. And continuing on the front page, next, Decatur Church defies COVID rules. Congregants turned away as Salem Baptist limits attendance. Tony Reed writes, diagnosing original sin as a lethal spiritual virus and Christianity as the cure, lead pastor Derek Bradshaw welcomed a limited, masked, temperature-checked, and socially distanced congregation to Decatur's Salem Baptist Church on Sunday. The church let in just a little more than 130 worshipers before locking the doors and turning many others away in a sanctuary that could hold some 500 in pre-COVID-19 days. Senior citizen members of the congregation had been urged to stay home. Even then, the church knew it was defying measures imposed by Governor J.B. Pritzker that, until further notice, limit gatherings in religious services to no more than 10 to try and slow the spread of the COVID disease. Bradshaw, whose church has canceled pretty much all other activities except now for the resumption of a service on Sunday, was unrepentant. Entering the sanctuary to a standing ovation, he said, "The COVID virus is real, but God is real, and we want to please him and I'm so glad you decided to join us today to please the Lord. He told the congregation, which included many visitors who don't normally attend this church, that those who seek to criticize Christians for carefully gathering in God's name don't understand the nature of faith. And he said he sees too many people throughout our state and nation who are in a state of spiritual death. Bradshaw said our mortal lives have a 0% survival rate, and then we risk dying again, spiritually, from the original sin that is passed down to us like a virus. He said accepting Christ is the cure that will last for eternity. He added, "We say church is essential, and we need to gather together, and we need to worship the Lord. People who are spiritually dead don't understand that they have spiritual needs. While you may be very much alive physically, if you have not been born again, you are very dead spiritually." Decatur Police Chief Jim Getz had earlier said officers would not interfere on Sunday, and there was no police presence at the church. Decatur City Manager Scott Wrighton had warned publicly that defying the governor's orders could endanger us all, but Bradshaw said he had since spoken with the city manager, who acknowledged spiritual nourishment is as important as physical food. "But I think spiritual food is more important," the pastor added. Speaking later, he said Wrighton claimed he had received a call from the pastor proclaiming and drawing attention to the church's plan to open on Sunday. Bradshaw said he never made such a call and had planned on keeping the event low-key. "It was supposed to be for our members only," Bradshaw explained, "so he is the one who blew this up, not me." Whatever the genesis for Sunday's service, those who managed to get a seat on the pews were glad they did. "What I miss is seeing my friends here. They are my family. They are God's family," said Sue Ray, 72, a retired teacher. "And it's more important to me than anything." Kelly Morrow was attending with husband Montana and their 7-week-old son, Landon. She grew up in the church and now lives in Iowa and jumped at the chance to come back while on a family visit to Decatur. "I've been following on Facebook and I wanted to come out and support them," said Morrow. "You miss the warmth of church." And continuing on the front page, the national response. Panel needs leader. Pelosi, McConnell unable to agree on chair for oversight of Fed recovery funds. 7 weeks after Congress unleashed more than $2 trillion to deal with the coronavirus crisis, an oversight commission intended to keep track of how the money is spent remains without a leader. 4 of the 5 members of the Congressional Oversight Commission have been appointed, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, have not agreed on a chair, leaving the commission rudderless as the federal government pumps unprecedented sums into the economy. Without a leader, the panel's remaining members can still do some oversight work, but cannot hire staff or set up office space. The 4 members have not met as a group since the economic rescue law was passed by Congress and signed by President Donald Trump in late March. If the commission is not functioning, which it is not, then there is no oversight on a huge part of the economic rescue law, said John Coates, a professor of law and economics at Harvard Law School. "So far, it's a non-oversight oversight commission," added Kimberly Whale, a visiting professor at American University Law School. Lawmakers try to oversee the spending law are surging down the rapids without a raft, she said. Congress created the panel to watch over $500 billion in lending to distressed industries backed by the Treasury Department and Federal Reserve. The Fed has said the money can be leveraged to offer more than $2 trillion in loans to U.S. companies. But without a chairman, the panel's activity has been reduced to tweets and letters by individual commissioners and a May 8th statement in which it pledged to publish a required report soon. The failure by Pelosi and McConnell to agree on an oversight head is the latest example of a broken Congress marked by partisanship and polarization. Even as both sides acknowledge the importance of overseeing the sprawling economic rescue law, lawmakers are immobilized by a larger political fight, with no resolution immediately in sight. It's disappointing but not surprising that the oversight panel lacks a leader nearly 2 months after the emergency law was adopted, said Danielle Bryan, executive director of the Project on Government Oversight. We've all seen how Congress operates, she added, saying it was difficult to see Pelosi and McConnell agreeing on an appointee in the near term, given their level of mutual distrust. The dispute between the two leaders far transcends this particular problem, Bryan said, but oversight should not suffer because these two can't agree. Representatives for Pelosi and McConnell said they had no update on when the oversight position would be filled, although Pelosi has told reporters she and McConnell have been talking and hopefully will have a decision soon. Meanwhile, they have engaged in a high-profile war of words over a new $3 trillion rescue law pushed by House Democrats. McConnell called the bill an 1,800-page liberal wish list, while Pelosi lambasted McConnell and other Republicans who have said they want to hold off on more relief spending. It's amazing to me how much patience and how much tolerance someone can have for the pain of others, she said. The House approved the bill on Friday, setting up negotiations with the White House and Senate Republicans that could go on for weeks. Whale, who teaches courses on the separation of powers, said congressional dysfunction goes back decades. We used to be a Congress that worked across the aisle to get things done, she said. They are really not in the business of legislating anymore. And next, twin tornadoes battered Decatur area. Tony Reed writes, two tornado touchdowns and a deluge of rain pounded the Decatur area late Sunday afternoon, according to the National Weather Service office in Lincoln. The Weather Service said the twisters were recorded by storm spotters, the first one over fields just north of Macon at 4:08 p.m., and then a second one over farmland southeast of Elwyn at 4:11 p.m., NWS meteorologist Kirk Hudel said his office had received no reports of damage. The tornadoes dropped out of a storm front that had rain hammering down at the rate of 3/4 of an inch an hour at times. Combined with totals from steady rains Saturday evening, Hudel said the Decatur area had received almost 2 inches of rain between 6 p.m. Saturday and close to the same time Sunday. Sergeant Ron Atkins with the Macon County Sheriff's Office said he was aware of numerous county roads awash after the downpour. Police said they responded Sunday around 4:38 p.m. to reports of a vehicle crash near Warrensburg caused by heavy rain, but few details were available Sunday evening. Much of central Illinois was under a flash flood warning until 7 p.m. Sunday, and a severe thunderstorm watch until 10 p.m. Hudel said the weather has been cooler and wetter than normal for May so far, and the ground was saturated. Major river systems like the Sangamon in Illinois, and also some of the smaller rivers, are going to flood or already are, he said, with flood warnings out for several central Illinois towns, including Monticello. Hopefully, we don't get too much more rain for a while, because we can't take too much more, Hudel said. Looking ahead to the rest of the week, scattered showers are forecast for Monday into Tuesday, but rainfall amounts are expected to be modest, and it will remain unseasonably cool. The high today is expected to be around 62, with temperatures falling to 54 Monday evening and a low of 54 again Wednesday night. And from the local and state page, city will ponder registration. Program holds absent property owners, managers accountable. A registration program for vacant and foreclosed properties is set up for consideration at tonight's Decatur City Council meeting. The new system would require banks to register properties placed into foreclosure and to pay a $500 registration fee. It would also require owners of vacant properties that have had at least one city code violation, such as property maintenance issues, or allowing weeds to grow too high, to register their properties for a $200 fee. In both cases, the city would also require semi-annual renewal registrations that come with a $350 fee. Officials said the registration program was an attempt to be proactive and would streamline city staff's ability to hold absent property owners and managers accountable. The program will basically deter banks from foreclosing on properties, Deputy City Manager John Kinseth said. The city will use that money to help offset some of the negative impacts the foreclosure will have on the rest of the community. Kinseth said some communities require registration as soon as properties become vacant, but Decatur's proposed ordinance change would not require registration until there has been a code violation. We're taking a little bit of a gentler approach than some other cities, he said. Registration for vacant properties will include the owner's name, mailing address, telephone number, and email address, as well as the same information for the property manager if there is one. We currently spend hours of time researching and tracking down property owners to get compliance with city codes for such things as garbage dumping, grass mowing, and securing or abating attractive nuisances, city staff wrote in a memo to council. The regularly scheduled council meeting will be held at 5:30 p.m. Monday at the Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf and some city staff members have been present in council chambers for the last several meetings, while the rest of the council participates via Zoom, a video conference application. Vacant and foreclosed properties are one of the biggest issues facing the city's goals for neighborhood revitalization, according to a city memo. The Herald and Review last year reported the city had nearly 200 vacant properties on its demolition list. Out-of-state owners at the time were responsible for nearly a quarter of those. Kinseth said the reason the city is acting on this now is because there is a freeze on serving eviction notices due to the coronavirus pandemic. But in the very near future, those temporary relief measures will go away, and people will have to pay the rent they've missed, he said. The proposed ordinance changes say money would be used to offset the cost of registration, code enforcement and mitigation, city neighborhood revitalization initiatives, and any related purposes as may be adopted in policy by the city council. The goal is just to turn these properties back into productive use as quickly as possible, Kinseth said. Council members on Monday will consider a contract with Property Registration Champions, LLC, to oversee the property registration program. The city would not pay the Florida company outright for the services, but the company would receive $100 for each fee imposed on foreclosed and vacant properties. In other business, the Council will also consider a grant application to the Bureau of Justice, which asks for nearly $100,000 in funds for the Decatur Police Department. The money would go toward law enforcement efforts in responding to the coronavirus pandemic, according to a city document. Only 10 people are allowed in council chambers in accordance with executive orders. Members of the public can send in written comments or video submissions up to 3 minutes long prior to the meeting. And next, from the Together Decatur series, They Won't Be Stopped, Pandemic Not Stopping Decatur Runners from Pursuit They Love. Decatur resident Susan Burke, 63, began running 10 years ago. She wasn't about to have a pandemic stop her progress. Burke has experienced a positive outcome from new opportunities in running. "I think people are racking up more miles now than before," she said. "We have time to train and it's easy to social distance." Burke has kept her two running partners. She also takes advantage of programs offered by the athletic retail store Fleet Feet. She is a member of the Decatur Running Club. She has also run with a group on Tuesday evenings. "And I run by myself sometimes, and my granddaughters too," she said. Personal trainer Tracy Hewitt does what she can to stay fit, as well as motivate clients and anyone who needs encouragement. One of her creations, a free program designed to turn people into runners called Learn to Run, has been put on hold. "Some nights we had 60, 70, 80 people," she said. Instead, she uses other motivational tools such as Fleet Feet's Running is Not Canceled. According to the exercise enthusiast, "Runners are social creatures. We love being in groups, supporting each other," Hewitt said. "The next best thing to being able to run next to your running partner is to have all of these virtual partners." Heather Dodson, manager of the Decatur Fleet Feet, said the Running is Not Canceled is more of a movement than a specific event. Several Fleet Feet stores across the nation have created local Facebook groups encouraging customers and community members to continue to engage in exercising while social distancing throughout this time, she said. "It's a fun place to share photos of running and walking and spending time exploring." The Running is Not Canceled Facebook page has posts of encouragement and motivation, as well as some of the struggles many runners face. "It allows all of us to interact with each other and cheer each other on and see how training is for other people," Hewitt said, "without having to physically be next to someone." The progress can be viewed by several runners at one time, even those who are not nearby. Hewitt's running partner lives in Champaign. "We've become better friends because we would never have been able to meet up anyway," she said. The running community has been trying various opportunities to keep the activity social. The Decatur Running Club is another support group. The Facebook page also provides information on virtual races. Teresa Himmelrich, 46, has been a runner for 15 years. On any day, she can be found at a Decatur park running with her running partners. They often communicate through the DRC Facebook page. She was found one evening preparing for a run at Nelson Park with Stu Young and Jeff Buckley. "Everybody in the running community, we have our own little groups that we run with," Himmelrich said. When he is out running, Buckley, 59, said he has other concerns beside the coronavirus. "I'm just nervous of getting hit by a car," he said. We will return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review shortly. We'll take a short break, and I look forward to reading with you further. Thank you.